This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, riding out, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners, hoping and praying that the Lord will take something home to some individual's poor soul, blinded by Satan, the god of this world, and maybe be awakened to their lost condition. Someone has said, if all of our preaching only made it possible for one poor soul to be saved, and that soul was mine, it'd be worth all that we put into it. So let's go on this morning, Dan. Come on, let's go. Wednesday morning, let's get up, get ready for the service tonight, too. You know, got to get there. Maybe somebody's preaching for me tonight back there at the home church while you and I are out on the trail. But we're looking at Christ coming, our blessed hope. His return, our blessed hope. That's our hope, my friend. What is your hope today? What is your hope this morning? Is it your 401k or your IRA or all those things? That's fine and well to have. I believe folks ought to put aside money for hard times and those things. I do. I really do. But my friend, oh, my hope. So we're looking there. Let's get back. Those early Christians were always looking. All the New Testament apostles left their inspired testimony that our Lord would soon return, or return, and that he wanted us to live in the attitude of waiting for the Lord. And we were looking in our last study how blessed, how precious it is to wait for someone that's been maybe gone out of the country for a while and or around the country. And we're happy to see them back, loved ones. We're happy to see them. Now, every born-again believer should live in that constant attitude of waiting, looking for the Lord to come. Now, I don't mean stand out in the big road and look up into heaven. No, I don't mean that at all. I believe there should be a consciousness, whether you plow in the back 40, baling hay, milking cows, riding the lawnmower, I don't care what it is, working in the office there under a lot of pressure, the computer's just a clicking away. I know what it is now. I had a business years ago, and I know what it is. But, my friend, there should be a conscious or maybe even an unconscious knowledge that our Lord is soon coming. The Apostle Paul said over there in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 1, so that ye could come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall confirm unto you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wrote also to the Thessalonians, saying, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turn to God from idols to serve the living God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Then the Apostle Paul, the great old apostle, wrote to the Philippian church there in Philippians 3:20, for our conversation, that could be termed citizenship, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change, get this now, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Did you ever realize that, folks? That we'll have a body likened unto our Lord? Listen, according to the working hereby, that he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Then James wrote in the epistle, James 5, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And Peter, writing to the scattered saints, said, there in 1 Peter 1, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be ye sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Also, the Apostle John. We see all of these great old apostles, many of them, Also, the Apostle John, in his first epistle, bring you these words, 1 John 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now, get that, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What a great day, my friend. Are you looking for the Lord, believer? Are you? My listener friend up there in Grand Rapids, Michigan, over there in Sacramento, California, Corpus Christi, Texas, Tucson, Arizona. This broadcast goes all over the world, folks. On our Radio Missions Radio, we're in Beijing, China. We're in Hong Kong. We're in Moscow, Russia. We're over there in Berlin, Germany. We're in Northern Ireland. And you can pick us up. You write me, I can send you that information. Listen, it says, and when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You and I have never seen the Lord. We see all of these paintings in the churches hanging, great old pictures hanging in these old churches, and the Lord, nobody's seen the Lord. Nobody knows if the Lord's got long hair or short hair. We don't know that. That's not important. But my friend, people just go nutty over those kind of things. I saw in the hospital one day, I was in a hospital, and they had in the lobby, they had a kind of like a mannequin of a man laying on a table, and they had almost had on no clothes, just a little wrap around his body, and it had a bloody spot on his chest where the spear struck him, and the brow all of those. That's not important, my friend. That's heathenism, or either occultism, whatever you want to call it. But listen. Let's go back to our study. The constant looking for the Lord and living with that attitude is one of the greatest incentives found in the Word of God. You can't constantly look for the coming of the Lord and expect his coming and not fight sin in your life. No, constantly confessing it, constantly repenting, constantly forsaking it, longing to be holy like the Lord, waiting for his coming when we shall receive our new bodies. Let's talk about our new bodies just a moment. It won't be no sin. That's the main thing. Won't be no sin, my friend. No sin. Won't that be great? Oh, listen. So the Apostle Paul gives us a special revelation of the first resurrection and the rapture of the saints at Christ's return in 1 Corinthians 15. How many times have we read that passage? How many times have we heard it? Especially at funerals, folks do that. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. That's the word, incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible, this old body of ours, this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written. Now listen, death is swallowed up in victory. In the face of Christ's coming, Paul would say to us, my beloved brethren, my friend, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. Now, one of the things that keeps the old trailblazer going in this ministry all of these years, the thing that kept our late pastor and others going, is that our labor is not in vain. We're not out here beating the air. We're not out here to make a name for ourselves. We're not out here to build a silver cathedral and all of those things and have all of those ornate pews and all those brass bands up on the stage where they play all that horrendous music. We're not out to do that. We bring you the simple gospel. Christ died for sinners. Are you a sinner? We used to have an old man here. He'd say, come clean, come clear, go to hell. Come clean, come clear, or go to hell. He couldn't hardly speak English. And then we had another old man who was a cousin of his, I believe, and he would say, it's neither this, it's neither that. Christ died for sinners. Are you a sinner? I know of no greater message that I could bring to you. It's neither this, it's neither that. Christ died for sinners. Are you a sinner? I know, my friend, that I have folks at my folks out there who criticize me. I know that. That's no problem. But I wish that the Lord would take a hold of some of them's heart. Wouldn't that be great? Oh, the greatest thing that ever happens in this world is to come to know the Lord, not to be a millionaire, not to be a president of America, of the United States. None of that's important. Those things are just a man-made, and they're all going to come apart at the end time. But, my friend, the greatest thing that could ever happen to a poor old sinner, like the old trailblazer, is to come to know the Lord, be awakened. You say, how so, Pastor? What does that mean, to be awakened? I've had folks write me, call me once in quite a while, quite often, and they say, Pastor Trailblazer, what does it mean to be awakened to your lost condition? Well, I explain it like this. I was just a poor old sinner. I didn't know it. I was raised on a farm. I didn't have any education amounts to nothing, high school. And went in service, come out, got married. Married a young girl who was a little church-going girl. I never did go to church. And then, by the providence of God, someone invited me to hear the late Dr. Patton, well, not doctor, no, but Pastor L.R. Shelton, and senior. And I heard him under an old gospel tent. Oh, I love those old tent meetings. Boy, it's hot, though, in the fall. And them old hard benches. But, my friend, when you're interested in your soul, none of that matters. No, it doesn't matter. That's the reason I tell folks, if you're too lazy to get up and come to service on Sunday morning and Sunday night, you never will be saved. You might as well mark it down. You won't ever be saved. It takes energy. It takes effort to be saved. The Scripture says strive. Did you know it makes you sweat to strive? You strive to make a living. I've been striving all my life to make a living for my family. But, my friend, the Scripture says strive to enter in the straight gates. But the old trailblazer is running out of time. I'm just getting started good. And I'll be back tomorrow with another message. Dan, you're going to be ready in the morning, all saddled up and ready to go in the morning early. Got your belly full of oats. And we've gone down to that next little town where folks are waiting for us. We let them know we're coming, and we have folks that want us to come to their town. They let us know. So, old Dan, we'll be back. You and I will be back tomorrow. Remember our mailing address, the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box, 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. And my phone number here, area code 225-664-8658. Until tomorrow, goodbye, and God bless you. If you missed part of today's broadcast or would like a recording, the Old Trailblazer broadcast is now available for download to your phone, to your iPad or computer via podcast. Find out more about our podcast by visiting our website at radiomissions.org. That's radiomissions.org.